Hello and welcome to Bring Jesus to the Table, where our glass of wine is just fine. I'm your host, Christina McCaleb, and together we're on a journey to explore faith, purpose, and a whole lot of laughter. Let's dive in.
Hey, we back.
I was just saying, you know, like we were talking about, you know, we taste and see how good God is and how good his ways are. And there's so many people who, you know, you don't know what you know until you know it. And there's so many people along the path that are various, are different degrees of where they are in their walk for truth. And I think that it's important that when Paul said that at the end about praying, pray for me, pray constantly, because there's so many people who are putting on their armor, that are armor bearers, and they're are various degrees. Some of them are still struggling, you know, and we only have every piece of light, every piece of truth that we have is not for us, for our own well-being to be like, oh, I know this, but it is really to bear the light for the people who are still in the dark looking for light. You know what I mean? It's only for, the only reason we're here, like you said, the only reason we're aliens here is for, to spread the kingdom of heaven on earth, to expand God's kingdom, heavenly kingdom, into the places of the earth that have been untouched by his kingdom. And so many times along the way, when God gives us a revelation, Satan tries to come in and steal it and say, make it selfish, make it like plant seeds of arrogance and pride. And look what I did. Look what I know. Look at the discipline I have to get up in the morning and do this. And it's really just a grace. It's really just something that was given to you, right? And for the benefit of somebody who doesn't have it. So when you, I think we got it upside down. When people look down on people who are still struggling, you shouldn't. That's your whole mission on being on earth, is them. Your whole mission on getting that truth is for them. And it makes me think about like the children of Israel. And there's a lot of conversations today about who are the real children of Israel? Who are the real, you know, who are the real Hebrew? And it missed, that conversation misses the whole point, because whoever you are, it is not so that you could be set up and be like, oh, look at them. They're God's special chosen. They're God's special chosen because they have a huge burden of being the city on the hill, being the light bearer for the people who are still living in darkness, so that they can not be like worshiping those children of Israel, but so they can say, look at God's favor, look at God's love. Let me find God's love too for me. Right. And when you find God's love, you are the children of Israel. You are.
Exactly.
You are it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You are so right about that. I'm like, you can be one too, which is why Jesus came. You know what I'm saying?
His right.
Old Testament versus New Testament. It transitioned into that. Yeah.
You exactly.
That. And then he's like, look, I came that you all could have life. So let me, so it doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, you know,
exactly.
Samaritans, you know?
Exactly. And look at his messed up bloodline. If you think about it, I think I shared this with you when we were at dinner at Grace's a couple of weeks ago, but when I used to read the Old Testament, you get to like Chronicles or any part of the Old Testament where they would say who beget who and who beget who and who had who, I would just skip over. I can't say the names. Who cares? I ain't keeping track of it. I know that I heard that name somewhere, but I would just skip over it. And then in the beginning of Matthew, where it gives Jesus's genealogy and it takes it all the way from Abraham and brings it on forward and to Joseph and Mary, and I was like, there's something important here. And I started noticing, like I started paying attention to that genealogy in the Old Testament and in Jesus's genealogy, and you would see that a lot of those people weren't even Hebrews. They weren't even Jewish people. Like, you know, there were Moabites and lines of Ishmael. There were all these people who were married in. It was always, and it just shows you how the redemption, they would get married into the bloodline. And that is, for the New Testament believer, that's just evidence of the redemptive power, how Christ marries in the fallen so that they can become part of the line. You know, when Ruth was a Moabite.
She was a Moabite.
And exactly.
She stuck with Naomi.
Exactly. And that's just one example. There are so many where they went and got wives from other places and they were brought in, or God will show mercy. Who was the one? Rahab was brought into the line. And right. So she was part of the people who were being taken over. So, but guess what? That's Jesus's bloodline. And so the point is that the bloodline is all adulterated with people who were fallen, who have found the light. He brought us into his fold. When you find it, how dare you get arrogant about it?
Exactly.
You only found it so that somebody else, so that you can bring somebody else into the fold.
That's right. And then what are you gonna, I was having a conversation with it the other day, and because today I'm supposed to go to the church to help them decorate, because tomorrow we having, well, hopefully we having a festival outside. Got rides, got games, got all of that, right? And so I'm supposed to go there to help decorate. And so I said, "Oh, I got to go help decorate. So I'm gonna need you to take." He's like, "See, I told you, you volunteer for one thing, they're gonna be calling you for everything." I said,
Period. That's
"You know what though?" I said, "But they need the help." He said, "They're gonna always need help." I said, "Yes, and that's why I am supposed to serve." I said, "That's why we're all here. We're here to serve and help other people. It's not about being selfish and what can if me helping can do what that's gonna do for me, or you know, it's not about being selfish, okay?" And so I said that, and then later on I talked to Donovan about it. I'm like, "Yeah, I gotta go do this, blah, blah, blah." I said, and Ed said this. I said, "But this is what I don't want. I don't wanna be like," I said, "You ever heard that story? Like knocking on heaven door, like, hey, Jesus gonna let me in." He'd be like, "I don't know you." And he's here gonna die.
Yes. Who are you? I never knew you.
Yep. I said, "No." I said, "I don't want that." I said, "I want to serve." And I unselfishly, and no, sometimes I don't feel like doing it. But have you ever felt when you do something like that for other people, when you get done, you feel so good?
You feel
You're
so good.
like, I'm so glad I did that.
So true. And it's the serve, like the service is the whole point. And then and the thing about it is that he does give us gauge of when, because it's, and then the other same, the other flip side of that is everything with moderation, because you can get burned out. And it
Right.
gives us gauge to when, you know what, let me take a rest. It gives our body a gauge, because it says with everything, when you give cheerfully. So if you're feeling resentful, feeling burnt out, or feeling like, if you ever get to a point where you're like, man, I'm the only one doing that, that's a wrong attitude. You're not cheerful. So that's probably a gauge, like touching something hot. Let me fall back and get back to God and get my heart right again, and then I'll re-engage again. He built a system in to get back balance, you know what I mean? And so while you're feeling like doing, while you're cheerful, why not? Because it's gonna be a time where you ain't gonna feel like doing it. Like, I'm not gonna do it. And then
That's
you get
right.
back connected and get your heart right and plug back in again.
Yeah, that's it. There's a lady at church. Oh my, I love her so much. She's so just real. I don't know. I mean, I'm getting to know her more, but one day I was out in the vestibule greeting, and somebody came to her and was like, "Hey, Cherie, such and such was supposed to do this, but they can't do it. So we was wondering if you can do it." She said, "No." I was like, she's like, "Oh."
I admire those people.
She said, "I'm not mentally prepped for that. I didn't know in advance that was going to happen. So, no, I'm not going to do it."
I
They were just
admire
like,
that.
"Okay, that's fine. We'll find somebody else." And that was it.
And it's so honest. Like, I'm getting better with that, but I used to be like, I can't just say no. I lied to find a reason no, because I felt like I had a reason. And I'm like, why would you do that? That was the stupidest thing to lie about. And now I just feel like, just say no. Just, it's not gonna work today. You don't even have to have a degree. Just, that's so freeing. I'm not there like that yet, but I want to be. I admire people who could do that.
I'd be like this, "Hey, Christina," I'm like, and then I let them say, "Well, if you can't do it," I'm like, "Yeah, no, I can't do
Most of the time I end up doing stuff and feeling like, I didn't even want to do this my whole day, you know, and because I what couldn't be honest with myself or the people. So
A lady asked me to make a cake. And I didn't even know baker like that. Girl, it's a layered cake. It's called a punch bowl cake. Girl,
I know exactly what you
super
mean.
easy to make,
Cake
right?
and pudding and cream.
Yeah. So she asked me to make the cake. This is my first week on the job where I'm commuting. I'm super tired, and she needed it on Friday. I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday commuting. I didn't get back home till like 7:30 on Thursday, but I had already told her yes, and I said, "Here are the ingredients. You know, that's what I need." Told her in advance. Okay, so Thursday came. I was so tired. I took a shower, didn't look at my phone the entire day, and I was watching TV and something happened. I think Don texted me or whatever. And so I looked at my phone, checked the text, and I checked. I'm like, "Oh, I didn't check my phone all day." Girl, that lady tried to reach out to me since 4 o'clock. And she was just like, "I'm at the store. How many of these should I get?" Like, I had already thought I told her everything, but she had questions. Then she was like, later on, she just kind of said, "You know what? I'm just gonna go with plan B." And I'm like, and then I'm like, I am so sorry, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I knew I was taking on to more than what I, all I had to do was tell her, hey, even though I told her, earlier, I'm like, I could have said, look, I'm not going to be able to do it. Having a rough week. I'm sorry. But instead, I disappointed her. And then she said, I found a recipe on YouTube, so I hope it's as good as yours, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm
like, that probably felt like a dagger.
I am so sorry. I owe you. She said, don't worry. You'll be able to make it up to me. My birthday coming up. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You gotta learn how to say no, or you can change the yes to a no if it
exactly
work out.
Yep. I used to, that's what, that has been my, like, I'm really trying to be honest with what my heart feels. Like, if the whole goal, I'm doing this podcast this year, this Bible study, it's 1 year on the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus gets, it starts with the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then it says, well, I can't remember, but basically, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he says, these kind of ascend into the highest point where you can actually see the face of God. Not many people in the Bible have seen the face of God, but the pure in heart see the face of God. And so I meditate on that a lot, like how to pure intentions, right? Pure intentions with myself and with other people. And I think I keep going back to, like, when you give cheerfully. And I always heard that scripture with, like, giving money, but I've just been using that, applying that in every part of my life when I'm giving my time, my attention, my money, whatever, what my resources, my yes, to do it cheerfully. And I'm like, okay, because that it really is a gauge of your pure intentions of your heart. If you're doing it disgruntled, the opposite of cheerfully is disgruntled, you know, or down. And I used to think that if I wasn't cheerful about giving, and this is always in the context of money, then I just check myself, you need to get cheerful. And I would fake cheerfulness, which is really not giving with a pure heart.
Ooh.
And now I look at that differently. I don't look at it as a, like a tap on my hand, like, look at you non-cheerful person. You need to give anyways until you, and fake it till you make it. You fake cheerfulness until you get there. But I really feel like it's a pain indicator. Like, in the way that you, if your heart is not right, it says, say no, don't do that. There's not going to be no reward for it in you. So it's just empty giving. It's given without any type of, basically, any, God's not telling you to do that. It's not in your heart. And it's like touching a stove. If a stove is hot, you don't do it. If my heart is not cheerful, I say no. And that doesn't mean I say, well, my heart ain't cheerful, I do it. I go and check my heart. God, why isn't my heart cheerful? And I really ask God to change my heart if that's what I'm supposed to do. And more than likely he does. It's time for me to, my lack of cheerfulness in heart or saying yes to a commitment or whatever, or giving whatever, it's time for me to do an about face and connect to God and say, God, my heart wasn't there. Why? And if I line up with him, I usually get insight. I usually understand this is why your heart wasn't right. And it's probably a good thing you didn't give, or it was some deficiency. I had an absence of God in the area where he grew me. And now I can say, yeah, oh, I want to do that, God. You know, he changes my heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or he directs it into where, girl, this is so good. But I don't know if I told you where I was doing evangelism, trying to do the evangelism team. I was on the evangelism team at church, and I didn't really want to be on it, but I felt like I needed to do something. And I'm like, okay, well, let me check it out. So I went to a meeting and I was talking about something. They were like, yeah, we need you on our team. You're bold. Let's. So I'm like, all right, I went.
Oh, yeah,
and I did it. And I did not. And then after the first time, okay, they did it. After that, I'm like, I didn't feel cheerful. I actually stopped going to the church because I didn't want them to ask me to do that again.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't where I needed to be. And that, right, it's like I wanted to be in that realm, but not like that. And so I went to the Lord like, look, I know you want me to talk, to speak your goodness and talk about your word. I know you, but I don't, that's not it. Like, I know that's not it. And this is how the podcast came about.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that this was it. It was
exactly
that. Yeah. But it's the same thing, just a different segment of it.
Yeah. When our heart's not right and we go to him to figure it out, he gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us he aligns our heart and gives us the answers. And I used to think when that scripture says he'll give you the desires of your heart, that it meant he'll give me my heart's desire, whatever I want, he'll give me. But it's not. He's going to align our hearts. He's going to give us what our hearts want, you know, which is usually something way better than I could have wanted from originally, you know.
Yep.
I remember you told me that story, and I would be the same way about the evangelism, air quotes.
Like, Do you think you're going to heaven if the Lord comes back? I'm like, wait a minute. What? I don't open doors for these. I don't open doors.
I am not going to be that person.
And one guy came out with his robe on to just let his dog out. Hey, sir, do you know Jesus? I'm like, oh.
Yeah, girl, but this is good. This, like, I don't know. I just love God. I love what he's showing me and the journey he has me on. And I'm grateful, you know, when we were kids, it was like a burden. You know, this is so funny, girl. I was telling Bella, I said, Bella, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing I was kind of a geek as a kid. I didn't know that because I was always popular, but I was friends with, so the teacher never could move me anywhere safe to stop talking because I was friends with everybody, the geeks, the jocks, the special kids, you know, the ones that probably should have been in their own classroom, special needs. I was friendly. But now that I think about it, I was probably more of a geek. That was probably my more authentic circle. And I was telling her, Aunt Liz had given, you know, we couldn't listen to, like, you know, all of our restrictions. And I think y'all were probably even more strict than we were.
Yes.
So I was telling Bella how, you know, we couldn't, anytime, any secular music that I had listened to, it was at a friend's house where I was sneaking or something. So there's a tape cassette that Aunt Liz had given me called ETW. Were you up on them? End Time Warriors, girl. Girl, I'm gonna send it to you. There's ETW, it's a rap group. And so I play it all the time because the song's still hitting to this day. So I play for Bella to this. I'm gonna send it to you on Apple Music, girl.
Yes.
And I know all the lyrics, and I'm like, as I'm listening, I was like, Bella, I'd be in my room cleaning up, and this is what I was listening to. And I'd be like, ETW, End Time Warriors, you know, singing all the songs. And I was like, I'm like, there's no way that my friends could have ever known that I was in my room listening to this, blasting this. They were listening to like Run DMC and Jodeci. But when I look back on it, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that, you know, my mom did the best she could based on what she was given to try to get the truth. And it's like each generation, just like with curses, blessings get better with each generation too.
Mm-hmm.
And curses get worse, blessings get better, unless there's something that breaks that tie. And I thank God for the building block of what she gave me, the wisdom, and that he gives me more wisdom and understanding. And I could strip away the stuff that was not of him and, you know, pass on that to my kids. And I just hope that with the freedom, because I'm seeing a more freedom that I didn't have as a kid, the freedom. And it really is, God gave us life. God gave us this word so that we can have life and have it abundantly here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel always that I was having abundant life then. I felt restricted. And maybe part of that was being a child thinking of it. But I hope that in the freedom, my prayers that in the freedom that I'm finding in his word, in his way of living, that I don't take advantage of that freedom. I still want to keep the things that are holy. And mm-hmm. I want my kids to still understand this sanctified way of living that comes with this. Like, yeah, you can wear makeup and you can listen to secular music, but you're still supposed to be set apart and sanctified. And
right.
I hope that I'm able to pass that on to them as I'm also passing on a freedom piece of his walk that we necessarily got as kids. There was a lot of restriction and
right.
You can't do this, you can't do that. And I love how God is showing me freedom in his way. And it's all things in moderation, and all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And giving me the wisdom and walk with him to show what's not expedient. It's not going to send you to hell, but you're not going to have an abundant life right now if you do that. Mm-hmm. So I want my kids to walk in that freedom and not use that freedom as a slide backwards, but right. Keep progressing upwards, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely had it hard. I think we had it. I don't know. Because when I get asked if you could rewind back time, would you? I probably would, but not that far. I would still be grown and living on my own. I would not go back, but I appreciate everything that they tried to do to make it better for me, you know, and to what they instilled, you know, the whole getting up early for Sunday school, the whole staying at church all day, you know, the whole Bible study. Dad would be like, all right, turn them cartoons off on a Saturday, living room. And we have Bible study based on what the Sunday school was going to be about the next day. And we had to go mm-hmm. over it so we could know it when we got to, you know, mm-hmm. school. And so those things, And I ain't thought about that in years, but those things molded me to today, even yes. though I got off track because I'm just like, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I made myself go to Word of Faith in Grand Rapids just because mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to go to a church, but I mm-hmm. didn't really want to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to, I was kind of like over churches, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I just got done with it. You know, I'm just like, why should I even go? You know, mm-hmm. then one day it all came together and I'm just like, I didn't know I had to have my own personal relationship.
Yeah. Or what that even, you, I would hear that, but I'm like, what does that even mean? Like personal relationship? Like, he ain't gonna be down here, sitting down here with me talking to me, you know? Like the practicality of how to make that happen was the missing piece. Mm-hmm. But I think that gets filled in because nobody can really say that. Like, I understand why my mom didn't say, because you don't know that. It's just, I think the quest, the seeking, the knocking,
yeah,
the searching is where that comes to light. And it makes me think about this too. You know, Jacob, before Jacob's name was changed to Israel, he was Jacob. He wrestled, his name was changed when he wrestled with God. Remember that story when he wrestled yep. with God? And it says, because you wrestled with God, I'm changing your name to Israel, which is wrestled with God. And going back to what we were talking about, when you encounter God and he gives you his truth and you have this light now, your whole purpose is to share it. And the yep. children of Israel, he chose the children of Israel or Jacob's seed to be the people he would show his goodness to. And then people said, oh, wow, look at God is so good to them. Let me serve their God too. And because he wrestled with God. And I think about when I found God, when I found the light, when I started my personal relationship, it was after a wrestle. I was wrestling with God. I was wrestling yes. like, God, I was all of these things I learned growing up. I don't see that in my life. If you, how can you be a loving God and all these things that they say, and this is what I'm feeling in my life. If you're, it's either a lie or it's truth. I'm either belong to some cult my whole life or it's true. And
oh
I need
you. Oh my gosh, yes.
You, okay. And I remember God had given me this scripture. I kept saying, okay, I was trying to hold on to my faith. And Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight with you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And I just kept getting that scripture over and over. And one day I was like, I don't feel God fighting for me. I don't even know. I could be quoting a scripture and God out of context. Let me read the whole Exodus 14. And it was Exodus 14 is when the children of Israel had just escaped, just got out of Israel, and Pharaoh was behind them. They had just crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh was trying to cross and he was drowning. Okay. That's what you had. And so I'm like, okay, God, that's what that scripture is. And they said, Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's what he was telling him. And you split the Red Sea, and that's what you did. So it would be easy for them to be still. If they were experiencing all the turmoil I'm experiencing in my life right now, it is easy for them to be still. If they literally just saw before their eyes, the Red Sea open up. If this is true for my life, I need you to do something like that for me. Open Red Seas in my life, because I am just out here struggling. And what kind of father... My dad is a good dad. He would do anything he could for me. If he knew what I was going through, he wouldn't be saying, oh, I have a truth for you, but you must seek it. He would be hiding the ball. He would be saying, doing everything he could to get it to me. He would be splitting the sea if he could. And I don't see you doing that. So either what I learned is a lie or I'm not doing it right. So show me. That was kind of like my come to, that was my wrestling with God, like Jacob wrestling with God. And I kid you not, after that is when he chose me. He loved me. All the personal relationship started. And I think about that with Jacob, you know, the people who wrestle with God and stand, and they wrestle and then they withstand long enough to see the goodness of God. They have the light. They are chosen for what? Chosen to be the example for other people, not chosen to be favored, but chosen to be the example for other people. And I think that there's something about when our parents would say, you need to have a personal relationship. There was no way to really articulate the wrestling part to get to the personal relationship. It's just something a person has to go through. And it's really the pureness of heart, genuinely seeking, is what leads you there, I think. It's on the other side of that wrestle, the personal relationship.
I agree 1,000%. Because there was a time where I was just, I really did think that I was in a cult. I thought, what? And then I started seeing how the other people that were just like, what is going on with your life? Like, no, this was not right. Like, this, things were going on that just wasn't right. And then I started talking to other people who I grew up with, and they felt the same way. They're like, I don't even know if this is real. Then it made me think, this is how people get off track and say, you know what? I used to be a Christian, but I got out of that because it just wasn't making sense. You know what I'm saying? They didn't try to learn. They didn't try to connect. They didn't pray to say, Lord, show me what it is. They just gave up, you know?
Yeah.
They just said, you know what? Forget it. I don't believe it. It ain't real. But I even got to a point where I said, why can't I just stay here on earth? Why do I have to make a decision on going to heaven or going to hell? Why can't I just stay here and that's it? Like, I didn't even want to go to heaven, but I didn't want to go to hell either. I just wanted to just be, die. That's it. Cause I didn't, it's like the enemy tried to make me feel like, what are you going to do forever? You know, you're just going to be singing and praising and all of that forever. Well, why would you want to do that? You know, like, what are you? And now I don't feel like that. Now I'm just like, come on, take this world away so I can get up there now. You know, that's how I feel now. And then a couple of weeks ago, Donovan came to me. He was like, I had a thought, but I know it's going to sound kind of weird, but I don't know why. He was like, what are people going to be doing in heaven the whole time? Like forever and ever. He said, that freaks me out. You know?
Exactly.
And I didn't know what to tell him. But then like a day or two after, I'm like, I don't know, Don, what the plan is, but he is going to destroy this earth and create a new heaven, a new earth and all that. I said, so I don't know what my responsibility is going to be. I could be an angel. You know, I don't know how to sing. So maybe I'm going to be up there singing. I'll be fine with that. maybe he'll send you down to earth to be somebody's guardian angel where you're trying to help.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, I didn't think about that.
I used to be like that too, up until recently. And in fact, it took me to when my mom died, but I started thinking about like, what is God trying to convey here with about heaven? And what does that even mean? Because when I was a kid, I used to be like, the way the Bible describes heaven, that sounds boring. Like, oh, we'll be sitting at the feet of God singing. Like to me, that sounds like praise and worship all day. And when at the time, as a kid, praise and worship was my least favorite part of church. And I'm like, I don't want to be in praise and worship all day for eternity. It kind of sounds hellish. And then I started thinking, and as I got older, when my mom died, I was like, it's probably like when people say Hosanna and Hallelujah is like the highest praise to God. Like that was just their way of speaking that. And it's probably like when our earth suit comes off and our spirits are free to explore the heavens. It's like when you travel and you go to a new place, you're overseas, you're like, oh my God, look at that, Christine, look, oh my God, look at that. And your genuine expression of praise and awe is like, oh my God, that's really not taking God's name in vain. That is like a pure like acknowledgement of God, like, oh wow.
Yes.
And it's probably so. The way that the biblical authors wrote Hosanna in the highest or Hallelujah, that's like their version, our modern day version of, oh my God, because they're seeing things in the heavens like a traveler that are just so awesome that there's like, oh, they're awestruck. And they're literally like all day long being on a road trip or an exotic vacation where you're like in awe. Oh my God, look at that. Look at that, girl, look at that. And that's probably, that's like the modern way of saying Hallelujah and sitting at his throne and praising because we're awestruck, you know, of what the heavens are like. You know, I look at the pictures from the satellite pictures of space and I'm like, wow. Oh, I'm literally saying, if I were an ancient Hebrew, Hallelujah, you know, oh my God, you know, and I just have to I have to put the modern day, those were human beings writing things. And I have to put the modern day interpretation of what it would be like to travel the space and see, be exposed to different things, you know. We would literally be worshiping God all day long. Like,
oh my gosh,
my God.
On Instagram, I saw like these, it's like 10 places you should go before you die, something like that. And when I tell you, I'm talking about these are places like not inside, these are outside places. Like, I was, all I could think about was like, oh my gosh, God is bigger than what he made. Yeah. He made, like, this is what we see right now. But when you see that, like, all that color. And when he talks about how he made the wildflowers and so beautiful, but nobody really sees them. How much does he think about us? You know, I'm like, these are places that I will probably never see that are so beautiful.
And you know? You're awestruck just from the picture. Imagine being there. You're like, yes. But I bet you that's what was the message that was trying to be conveyed when they describe heaven that way. All the heavenly hosts are circling around his throne, just singing praises. It's like that. Like when we go see nature and we're singing praises, like, wow, God is big. And that's just earth. Imagine, you know.
Yep.
So it's not boring praise and worship. And I don't think praise and worship is boring anymore either.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't want to stand up the entire time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I want to get, you know, cool. Okay, now I want to sit down. Yeah, you're doing three songs today? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know what I didn't like about praise and worship? I didn't like how I feel like praise and worship, the people up on the stage are there to help usher me, my personal praise in. So I don't like to be lectured. I don't hear y'all. Right. Come on now. We're going to start it over because I don't hear y'all. Y'all didn't kind of. And sometimes my silence is because I'm praying, I'm ushering in, I'm thinking about God, I'm thinking about the lyrics. So I don't need to be lectured. And then really, you're just distracting me when you're doing that, when you're preaching to me about. I don't know. So maybe that was me being in my flesh, but it would just sometimes be a distraction or boring. I don't know. Or come on, stand up. And sometimes I wanted to, I don't know. That was,
yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. If I see one person, nobody does it at my church, but I've been to those. I'm like, I don't want to stand up. And then I see everybody else standing up and I'm like, I'm the only one sitting down. I'm like, fine. Yeah. But if I see one other person still sitting there, no, I'm sitting down. And then I was reading that somebody said, like, if the spirit don't move you to get up, you don't get up. If the spirit don't move you to clap, yes. Don't clap. It's not about you doing it because somebody else told you to do it.
Yeah, or raise your, if you don't want to raise your hand, sometimes I'm going to have my hand here, like, raise your hands. And I don't want to be told what to do. Like, I'm a grown up and I know what I, it just would be a lot of distractions.
I'm not repeating everything either. Turn to your neighbor. No, I'm not doing it.
Too many gimmicks, too many like hyping up. And I just wanted to sometimes just give me the word and, you know, stop all that.
Keep your head straight. Like everybody turning, you keep your head straight. So somebody want to touch you to make you turn it and say it. And then I go like this.
Yes. So, Lord, I'm a little softer now, but I know I feel you on all that. Yeah.
All right, girl. Well, sure. This has been great.
I know.
Thank you so much for
doing. I feel like we did our podcast now.
We did. That's pretty much it. Like this, okay. It was practice, but it was good.
I'm excited. Thanks for inviting me. It was fun. I can get all these crazy thoughts out and talk about them with people.
So. I love it. I love it. And look.
That's it for today's episode of Bring Jesus to the Table. We hope you enjoyed listening and gained some valuable insight and inspiration. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a review to help others discover our podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back soon with another exciting episode of Bring Jesus to the Table. Until then, may your faith guide you, your purpose inspire you, and may laughter light up your life. See you next time.